And we'll praise the Lord.
We are continuing our series of messages that deal with prophetic ministry. Prophetic ministry in these times. And I've titled these series, Four Kinds of Prophet, which we haven't really got to yet, and we won't get to today. But next time, of course, it won't be next week, because next week's Thanksgiving, and so I'll be sharing a Thanksgiving message, Songs of Deliverance. And praise God, looking forward to that. And then the following week, we have a missionary coming, and from Germany, Steve Dunn, we look forward to him coming. So this will be December the 2nd. And December the 2nd is also our Christmas party after the second service. So we hope you can join us then. Praise God. But our text, our opening text, actually two different scriptures that talk about both the impact of prophecy and the ministry of prophet as the return of the Lord Jesus Christ approaches, but also how the church is to respond and react to it. Just like anything that we have from God, we need to be good stewards, amen, of what we received. In fact, if I could just digress for a moment, Matthew chapter 25 talks about the parable of the talents. Jesus is giving some last-minute teaching and instruction regarding the end times and his return. He's talking about judgment in that chapter. And one of the things he talks about in that chapter relates to the giving of gifts. And he shares a story about how a rich man went away and gave his servant some five talents or five pieces of money, another two pieces of money, and one piece of money. A lot of people, you know, talk about how that relates to finances, which it does. You know, to whom much is given, much is required. And we need to honor God with our finances. But it talks about gifts and what God gives us and how we're to be good stewards of the gifts. How we're to, number one, use them, but to use them wisely. And this relates to the ministry of the prophet and prophetic ministry. It is a powerful ministry. It is a ministry that the Bible teaches us we should search after. Desire spiritual gifts. Most importantly, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, the gift of prophecy. And the reason for that is that prophecy is the word of God, which the Bible says is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the words of God, and the word of God is very, very powerful. And we talked about that all through Scripture, how the word of God has accomplished and does so many things. Most importantly, it saves the soul, but it also encourages the saint. And so we took time to talk about that. But we need to be good stewards of that as well. And that's what we're in the process of talking about. But let's begin with our two text scriptures. And before we pray and do it, just a very brief recap before we move forward. And this morning what we're going to talk about in the message is testing the ministry of the prophet. Anyone who says they're a prophet, we just don't take that at face value. It's important that we test them, but test them properly, and we'll talk about that as we get into the message this morning. But let's read our text. The first portion of our text is from Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And what this is the promise that as Christ approaches, as we approach the last days, and I think we're getting there, amen? That the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out, and one of the ways that the Spirit's outpouring is going to be manifested or seen is through the ministry of the prophet. In the last days, God says, reading Acts chapter 2, verse 17, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So there should be an expectation as we approach the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for the increase of the prophetic ministry of those who prophesy and of prophets themselves or prophetesses. Amen? God is no respecter of persons. And God, in this wonderful calling of prophet, uses both, has used, and will continue to use both men and women. But Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, echoing what Joel prophesied and Peter shared in Acts chapter 2, shares words of caution from Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 through 25. Talking about these last days, there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's word this morning. Father, we thank you so much in the name of Jesus for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the calling of prophet and prophetess upon people. And for that beautiful gift you have given both the world and to the church. As we continue to discuss this important topic, we once again pray and ask for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be in this place. Speak, Lord, through this your preacher this morning. May I share your words and not my own. Give us ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. Give us open and discerning ears as we approach your return. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The promise of prophecy, but because the enemy is against the church, the increase of false, may I say, demonically inspired prophet and prophecy, prophetesses, it's important that you and I both be open to the ministry of prophet, but also discerning. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We began by talking about what a prophet is, and of course, he is one who declares or speaks forth the word of God. Prophets minister both within and without the church, within the church to strengthen, encourage, and comfort, but also to call to repentance. I think of the messages of the Lord Jesus Christ to the seven different churches in Asia Minor in the book of Revelations chapter 2 and 3. There were words of comfort, there were words of promise, but there were also words of correction. And Jesus is the great prophet, as well as our high priest and our king, our savior and our Lord. We talked about the many other things that they do: expose sin, share blessings, encourage, pronounce judgment, call to repentance, and give hope of grace and forgiveness. How true prophets, when they are used by God, their message, because the word of the Lord through a prophet or prophetess is anointed or empowered by God, it speaks to the heart and the soul of the individual who that message is speaking to, and elicits a strong emotional and spiritual response to those who are open and willing. It brings them into a deeper relationship with Jesus and fills them with a sense of awe. But to the enemies of Christ, whose hearts are set against it, And this is important to realize as well. Not everyone will embrace a prophet. And when an anointed prophetic word comes the way of those who don't want to have anything to do with God, sad to say, there will always be those people. It does also elicit a strong response within them, that being of anger, disgust, and sometimes moving them to the point of persecution. We talked about there's a difference between the prophetic gift and the ministry of prophet. Not all people who prophesy are prophets, and how prophets are someone, are individuals who not only share the word of God, they receive dreams and visions. Sometimes signs and wonders accompany them. Sometimes they share the word of God through signs or through symbols. And I think it was Isaiah, God commanded him to walk naked for 3 years. And whether he was totally naked or just with a loincloth, which was probably the case, as a sign of impending captivity. And I hope the Lord never calls me to do that. That would be scary. But again, many different ways, for good reason, to make a powerful impact on people's lives. And then we talked about the need of prophecy, how it's a great gift, and how I believe. Now, again, I'm sharing my opinion, but I think it's backed up by facts, how the word of the Lord is rare today. And even though there are people, and I don't think there's categorically no prophets, I believe God has moved on some. Many people, and I agree, believe Dave Wilkerson was the prophet of God. And I think others as well, you know, really speak the word of God, but there are many false prophets who are out there. I talked about some of the evidence of this, and some prophecies just flat out wrong. In fact, there was evidence of this last week with the elections. There were people who were prophesying a great red tsunami, and that the Republican Party would take over, you know, the United States, and that didn't happen. So I don't know what they do with that, and then there's some prophecy that's just so general, it really doesn't mean anything. In a great crowd of people, you could prophesy that financial blessing is coming, and you could be right, because some people are just going to be financially blessed in there. It doesn't mean that you're actually a prophet. Some is sensationalistic, and of course some we'll talk more about it today, is inspired by evil wickedness, evil spirits, wickedness, or greed. But this morning I'd like to take time and talk about our responsibility to test the prophets, to test both prophecy. When prophecy is shared in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this may be more of a teaching than a preaching this morning, I'm not exactly sure how it's going to play out. Either way, it's the word of God. But how we're to both test the gift of prophecy, but also the ministry of the prophet. How we just not, if someone claims to be a prophet, how we just not to embrace everything they say or they do, that it's from God. But having said that, we need to be very, very careful that we have the right spirit in testing prophets and prophecy. Now, before we actually get into the testing, I'd like to just share a little bit about some of the problems and some of the reasons that we don't see the ministry of prophecy as much as I think we could see. Now, just because we're in a time that maybe true prophecy really isn't in effect, we're in a time where the prophetic gifts and the calling of prophet is rare, and again, I'm just sharing my opinion this morning on that, does not mean that God is not speaking through prophets and through believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to both the church and the world. And I think as far as this message should not only speak to what's going to happen, it should, because we are a Pentecostal church that believes in both the gifts of the Spirit and the fivefold ministry gifts to the church that are listed for us in Ephesians chapter 4. We should expect supernatural ministry when we come together. Amen? God has not changed. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit was poured out again on this nation. And not just upon the assemblies of God, but how many remember the charismatic renewal back in the 70s, where Catholics and Episcopalians and Presbyterians were all filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other languages. God is moving today, and let's not lose or despise what God wants to do. But having said that, And I'm sharing from my perspective as a pastor this morning, that many pastors and many people have shied away from prophetic ministry. They don't encourage it within the church. In fact, I know of instances where people who were in charge of services actually put out the gift of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy, or the ministry of prophet, which can be done. Not that man has power over the Holy Spirit, but God desires to work through willing people, and willing people can refuse to allow the Holy Spirit to move. And sometimes leaders have been guilty of doing that. And there are reasons for this that I can share with you, because, you know, I'm in this spot. I get it. For one, if you are, as a leader, as a pastor, if you are insecure as far as who you're calling, who you are, if someone was to be moved by the Holy Spirit to share a prophetic word, and you're not confident in who you are as called to be a pastor, as a preacher, and a teacher of the Word of God, and insecurity is actually a byproduct of pride, of the issue of pride, because, you know, you don't want anyone to think better of you, then you're intimidated when someone is used by God to bring a message within the midst of the church. You know, some pastors think, not all, and I hope a minority and not a majority, think that everything has to come through them. And if they're not prophesying, then no one can prophesy. And that's not a healthy mindset. That actually shows insecurity. And it'd be very, very difficult for a church to grow spiritually if a pastor is insecure. And let me tell you, and not just starting out, you know, one of the things we pastors do struggle with sometimes our feelings of inferiority, that we're not up to the task, you know, and sometimes that can be very, very challenging. But we need to be secure in who we are in Christ, what God has called us to be, and not be fearful of the Holy Spirit working through other individuals as we're ministering. Other instances, sometimes people get carried away with prophetic ministry. And I've been in situations and instances where you know, the Holy Spirit moved upon an individual and they began to share a prophetic word or an interpretation of a message in tongues that was shared within the body of Christ. And what they were sharing was good. But then, you know, they kind of got, you know, caught up in the emotion of it, and it is an emotional experience, and it should be, amen? Where they just kind of kept on going. And instead of sharing what God was laying upon their heart, they began to share what was on their heart. And how do we know that? Well, you know, there is, God does give within the body of Christ the gift of discernment. Sometimes to individuals, sometimes the whole body has that gift. And I'll talk about what I mean by that as we progress through the message this morning. But those issues, so people kind of get carried away, and then when the leader, when the pastor has to intervene, there can be confusion or hurt feelings and different things and division within the church, because, you know, some people might think it's good and other people might not. And so rather than have to deal with messy prophetic ministry, let's just not do it at all. And just being honest with you this morning. Sometimes people fake it. And they just fake it. You know, and there, some people fake it on purpose. They want to draw attention to themselves. And let me tell you, it's very, very easy to fake prophecy. You might be saying, Pastor, how could that be? A person can very easily fake a prophecy by just getting up and with a very strong, authoritative voice, share a scripture. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And say that very powerfully, and it's true. It's a Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I believe. A great word. But if you just want to share it, and sometimes knowingly, because you want people to think you're spiritual or something, and even though it's a good word, and even though you might be sharing it authoritatively, and let me tell you, prophecy isn't so much style as it is anointing or the empowerment of God. And it's really not prophecy. And let me tell you, God will not be mocked. And if you try to fake the gifts of the Spirit, God will not be pleased and will expose that. But that is a false prophecy with knowledge. Sometimes there's false prophecy without knowledge. And what I mean by that is this. And again, this is more of a teaching today. So some people just kind of get caught up in the moment, you know, and they're just really excited. Especially if they're new in Christ. And, you know, the Bible says kind of the rule of thumb as far as utterance ministries, whether it be prophecies or tongues, interpretation in tongues. You know, during a service or a gathering, two or at the most three. And so maybe there's a prophetic word, and then there's another prophetic word or tongues, an interpretation of tongues. And, you know, this is just so exciting, and everyone's really happy, and you know, someone's just getting so excited, and so they start sharing. There's no malice in their heart. They're not trying to deceive people. And, you know, they might feel something. And so they just share with everyone, but it's not really a word of prophecy. And you know, again, the sense comes over them. And I have had instances where someone shared a word to the church, but the word really wasn't for the church, it was really for them. And that's very difficult. And those are things we can work through as well. But again, because of the messiness, it's not messy because of God, it's messy because of us. And you know, learning, just like a child who's learning to walk sometimes falls down. That happens as we learn to exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. People don't want to deal with it. And then, of course, the worst thing, and this happens in church, because let me tell you, the most faithful person to come to church isn't anyone in our church, isn't anyone in this room. It's the enemy. He wants to come to church and disrupt and destroy and deceive and do all the evil things that he could do. And if there is someone who is open to evil, they can be moved by the Holy Spirit to speak an evil word, a false word. And that does, in fact, happen. It happened to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16. And still happens, it still happens today. So how do we determine, which leads us to the question, well then, how do we determine false prophecies from true prophecies? Of course, a false prophecy is obviously a prophecy that is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. But there's ways that we can test whether a prophecy is true or not, even without the discernment of spirits, which I think is necessary. And what the discernment of spirits is when the Holy Spirit, and solely the Holy Spirit, lets people know that the spirit that the person who is prophesying under is not of God. And let me tell you, as far as the exercise of the gift of prophecy or the ministry of the prophet, there's three spirits that a prophet can operate under. The first, and the one that we want, is the Spirit of God. God moves upon them. We talked about, you know, the word of the Lord came. God moves upon an individual to share a word or to do something, maybe share a dream or a vision. The second is the flesh. We talked about that just a few moments ago, where, I just want to share something. And there's nothing wrong with getting up and sharing. You know, I just want to share this scripture with everyone. I hope it's an encouragement. That's a good thing. I would never squash that. But I would squash someone getting up and saying this is a prophecy when they're just kind of sharing their own hearts. But then there are evil spirits that move upon individuals. How do we determine that? If the spirit of discernment is not in operation, well, any prophecy that denies either the word of God or the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, excuse me this morning, is a prophecy that is not to be received. And it's blatant, those are blatantly obvious that it is not something that should be received as truth. It goes against the word. I remember hearing a prophecy once that was, and it was great. It was while we were at Bible school, and it was actually on a Sunday morning. We all went to the same church on Sunday morning, the church that was associated with the Bible school. And a young man got up and actually shared the scripture as a prophetic word that we read as our text this morning, that false prophets would appear, but this is how he shared it. False prophets would appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive even the elect. Now that's scripture, but it omits a very, very important part of scripture. That being the words, if possible. And Dr. Crandall, who is the pastor, said that was a good prophecy, except the fact that it is impossible to deceive the very elect. And if that prophecy had been shared unchecked, it would have sown seeds of fear and doubt and insecurity into every believer who was not strong in the Word of God. Because they would be thinking, oh my goodness, as we approach the end of time, false prophets are going to come and they're going to be so persuasive that even people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be swept away. But it is not possible. Because if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has granted you something that He describes in Ephesians chapter 6 as the helmet of salvation that protects your mind and allows you to discern error from truth. So it's a scripture that denies the person, work, ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ or the words of God. But secondly, there are also good words that lead, that can be used to lead people astray. And let me share with you from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13 what I mean by that. And this is the Lord's teaching regarding the ministry of prophet in the Old Testament. And prophet in the Old Testament is the same as a prophet in the New Testament. Same anointing, same ministry. This is what the Lord says. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign and wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and then the prophet says, let us go follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all of your heart and all of your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commandments and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. So it's more than just as far as discerning a false prophecy. If the gift of discernment is not in operation at the moment, it's more than just saying, hey, that's a good word, I should receive it. It's listening to the whole counsel of that prophet. That's why it's not wise, and that's why I personally don't allow people that I don't know to exercise spiritual gifts when they come into the church. Because I don't know what their end game is. They could be, what Scripture is saying here is there could be individuals who share a good word or a sign that comes to pass. And even though what they shared is true, their goal is to lead people away from God and lead people into the bondage of idolatry or sin or something of that nature. And there are people like that in the world and the church today. In fact, there are movements of the church, and they might not call themselves prophets, but they are prophets because they state that they're, you know, speaking, you know, new revelation regarding the church. And they're talking a lot about good things, about the love of God and about grace and forgiveness. But then they're also leading people into false teaching and immorality. And one of the prevalent false teachings that's being propagated by some of these seemingly good ministers who are preaching from the Word of God and are talking about being born again and whatnot, many ways to salvation. You know, you can go through Buddha, or you can, you know, kind of a universalism. And another thing that they're doing is also winking at or giving people the liberty, not genuine liberty, it's actually bondage. They're giving people liberty to live immoral lives. You know, living together outside of matrimony, that's okay. God understands. If you're struggling with same-sex attraction, let me tell you, just because you struggle with some kind of sexual attraction, whether it's to a member of the same sex or children or some type of weird, you know, some people are, you know, I hate to get graphic this morning, but some people are sexually attracted to animals. There's bestiality. And it's a terrible subject to talk about. But we don't view that as normal or the way that God created them. And we view that as someone who has something wrong. And we're marred by sin. And all of us have stuff that we have to work through. And you know, for some reason, the gay thing, there are many within the body of Christ who are giving their blessing on that, their blessing to that type of lifestyle. And what they're doing is they're deceiving genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ into a life of bondage that's actually drawing them away from the Lord. We need to look at the whole counsel of those who are prophesying and those who are sharing messages of God. Now, having said that, what about the case of the person who shares a failed prophecy? Maybe in a service, they share, you know, that This is going to be a year of blessing. And you know, I talked about sometimes how things can be too general, they don't mean anything, but there are times where God speaks to churches as far as the seasons that they're going to go through. And God can, you know, let churches know when they're going to go through a bad season, but they can also let churches know when they're going to have a time of healing and a time of harvest after sowing. And what if those things don't come to pass? Does that mean that person who shared that prophetic word is no good and we should not stone them, but not allow them to prophesy, throw them out of the church, call them a heretic? And the answer to that is not necessarily. It could be the case where someone is just sharing from the flesh or sharing, you know, motivated by an evil spirit. But it could be the case that that prophecy was true. It simply failed. And here's a scripture that talks about what I mean by that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Oh my goodness. I don't know if I'm going to finish this morning. But let me tell you, I will probably finish second service. So you guys can catch up on online. We'll take the second service, because we're going to have to end here, because in a moment we're going to be transitioning to 10:15 service. And let me share this about failed prophecies from 1 Corinthians 13 verses 8 through 10. And may I say, this verse shows us what's more important than even prophecy, and that's love. Amen? Love covers a multitude of sins. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. When completeness comes, what is in part disappears. There have been promises of good, genuine prophecies that promise either blessing or sometimes judgment or warn of an impending difficult times. And they don't come to pass, and it doesn't mean that prophet was wrong. He or she could be right. But let me share with you two things that relate to the ministry of the prophet or prophecy. And it relates to both blessings and judgment. Promises of judgment are sure and true, but are conditional I'll use the word conditional for lack of a better term. Because whenever God shares a message with judgment, right along with that, whether spoken or not, is the possibility of repentance, forgiveness, and healing. And a good example of this, perfect example of this, is the example of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 4, the Bible, we've been talking about Jonah in this series of messages. Jonah was moved by God to share a message of judgment without repentance. He didn't mention repentance, at least not in Scripture. A message of judgment to the Ninevites. Because of they were evil and they were wicked, and God was going to destroy the city. And do so in 40 days. And, you know, Jonah needed a little compassion. And I don't quite get it. I do get it, because that's what can happen if you allow hatred to come in. The Bible says after he shared that message, he went and he found a spot that he could watch Nineveh get destroyed. Kind of like you'd watch like a football game. He wanted to see it happen. But I think he knew, but didn't count on it, the gift of God's grace and repentance. And the king of Nineveh said, a call for a fast and call for sorrow and anguish and repentance over their sins. And everyone had to do it in the city, including the animals, where they put on sackcloth and they didn't eat or drink for 3 days. And can you imagine what that was like, not only for the people, but for the children and for the animals? The animals must have been going crazy. And God saw the humility of their heart and saw their repentance. And he changed his mind. I know God's not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. But God, because he is a God of grace and willing to forgive when there is repentance, forgave Nineveh their sin and extended grace and forgiveness to them. Sometimes prophecies of judgment fail because God's people repent. Amen?
Amen.
Certain doom is coming, but people take it and turn to the Lord, and God heals and God forgives.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the nature of God.
Mm-hmm.
He desires above all. That's why he sent Jesus willingly to the cross for our sins. But then there's also the aspect of blessing. God promises blessing. But I don't know about you, whenever I read about a blessing in Scripture, it's always conditional. And it begins with our salvation. I have the blessing of forgiveness and eternal life. But it's not because Jesus just died and rose again, although that is critical. It's because I put my faith in him. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. I have no fear, and in fact, for the 54 years of my life, I've always had a place to live, I've always had clothes, I always had plenty, sometimes too much, to eat. And it didn't come because God is just the provider of everything. It's because if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto us. If I don't, even if I'm a believer and I disregard God in my life, I don't have that assurance. In fact, you read through the book of Proverbs, wonderful promises of blessing, of wisdom and prosperity and different things, but all conditional on living right before God, living in the right. And I'm not saying we're saved by works and we earn different things from God, but it's important that we be people of faith and people of righteousness, people of love and compassion, that we live the faith that is in our lives. And there are some promises of blessing that never come to pass because people don't turn their hearts to Jesus. In fact, a lot of prophetic words actually share that. If you will but turn to me, if you will look on me, if you will trust me, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct thy paths. And Psalm 37, great promise of trust. A failed prophecy isn't necessarily, could be, but isn't necessarily a bad prophecy. I hate to say it, I have to end now. I wanted to get through so much more on this as far as actually getting into the testing of prophecy, and I know it's taking long for us to get through it, but I think we need to be well grounded because of the power, you know, not only the impending coming of this gift, but the power that this gift is demonstrates and the influence that it has in the world, and in the church. Let us pray. But in closing today, let us stand. And we're going to sing a chorus in closing in just a moment. But let me just share with you in closing today. Let us pray that God gives us a discerning ear. We have much more to talk about this. And maybe I'll only get through this in the morning service as well. But we need to search for prophets or seek the prophetic, be open to it, but we need to handle it
wisely. Because I don't know what the percentage will be, or the percentage is, but according to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the closer we get to his return, there'll be many false prophets. If we are not on our game, we could easily be deceived or give opportunity for those who are weak in their faith to be deceived. Let's pray. Let's sing together in the name of Jesus.